Okay, it's after 6 o'clock. We call the meeting to order. This is our first regular meeting of the year 2012. Madam Clerk, would you call the roll?
Mr. Real? Warren Keough, District 1.
Present.
Noel Woods, District 2.
Present.
Ronald Arvin, District 3.
Yes.
Steve Culligan, District 4.
Here.
Darcy Fahman, District 5.
Here.
Jim Culver, District 6. He should be joining us shortly, Mr. Mayor. Okay. Jim Culver, District 6.
Here.
And Vern Halter, District 7. You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Very good. We have the agenda before us. I know the manager has some suggestions.
Yes, under consent agenda, D1C, we'd like to remove the Trapper Creek Library. And the purpose is we needed additional approval to move forward. And under...
the resolution 12-005?
Sure, yes.
Thank you.
Right. And then we would like to postpone Roman numeral 10A, 10, Talkeetna water and sewer issue. I've not been successful in a meeting with Assemblymember Halter on this fund issue. And so we need to do that first before we move forward.
Is that a resolution?
Yes, sir. It is.
Which one?
It's an ordinance. It is ordinance 12-015.
And then AM 12-005.
That's A1.
I'm sorry.
A10. The first one that you
cut. That was actually an AM that needed to be taken off, and I said resolution. It's AM 12-005. It's on page 5. And it's item number C. On page 5.
Okay. We'll trust the clerk keep track of that as we move along. Is there anything else to comment on that?
Sewer water. There's a legal opinion from attorneys that they can't do the 75,000 bed tax, which is kind of throwing this into flux. That was kind of a crappy step.
Right, because of the code.
I'm not sure what to do next.
Code requirements on area wide.
Maybe we can get another opinion.
Well, there are other fixes, but during the agenda setting, it's not the time to get into it. Assemblymember Keough.
I request that we withdraw motion. I had requested, this is on page 8 of 8 of the agenda, under other new business, motion to amend something previously adopted. I had intended to look forward two items regarding reclamation bonding, but I'm not prepared to do that, so I would ask that be deleted from the agenda.
Is there objection to that? Seeing and hearing none, we'll delete that. Were there objections to Mr. Moosey's amendment? Okay. Is there any other discussion on the agenda? Is there objection?
Mayor.
Assemblymember Arvin?
Yeah, under unfinished business, I would like to move ordinance cylinder number 11-022 to a date certain of February 16th.
Well, I don't.
I don't think it's ready for prime time today. I'd like to move it down the path here a little bit.
No, that's out of order right now. We will have to do that when we get to it. I believe that's right, Madam Clerk.
Mr. Mayor, I do believe it's a setting of the agenda. If you're wanting to postpone an item, I think you can do it at this time.
Really?
Yes.
I will take back what I said. Assembly Member Arvin, did you have a date, time certain?
I clarified that very quickly.
Yeah.
Because the main motion on this item is already on the floor.
Right.
So that would be the reasoning why.
Okay. Assembly Member Arvin.
Yeah. February 16th, 6 p.m. meeting.
Okay, on
Thursday.
Ordinance 11-022.
Is there objection to that? Postponing to time certain February 16th. I don't hear objection, so that is taken care of. Did you get that, Madam Clerk?
No, I didn't, Mr. Mayor.
It's postponed until February 16th.
Thank you. I got it at 6 p.m.
And there was no objection. Anything else on the agenda? Is there objection to the agenda? Seeing and hearing none, we have the orders for the day. So, right, I'm going to ask Mr. Kennedy to lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have the minutes from December 6th, December 7th, December 20th, two meetings on December 20th. Any amendments? Assemblymember Kehoe?
A small correction to the minutes of the regular meeting at 12:20, page 12 of 19, mid-page, to restate the bullet, mid-page, to read where it reads, View House Bill 88 in the record, strike that and replace it with, or it was read House Bill 88 in the record, replace that with read aloud a portion of House Bill 88.
Okay. We did check on that today, and that is correct.
Okay, that is very helpful. We're certainly not equipped to answer that now. But was there objection to that? Seeing and hearing none, that passes. Anything else? Reports and correspondence. I see Wasilla here. Do you have a report for us tonight?
Mayor DeVilvis, Assembly members, I have three items tonight. First is on the Lake Lucille Park transfer. That's still with Alaska State Parks, Gene Ayers. We should have something here at your next meeting for you. Number two, the library land transfer. The borough and the city has already started their process in surveying and on the work on the subdividing the property out. So that should be happening, we hope, by June. And third and finally, resolution number 1203, a resolution to the Wasilla City Council supporting the governor of Alaska and the state legislature to fund the rail extension from Point McKenzie to the Alaska Railroad main line, passed the Wasilla City Council on January 9th, and I left a copy of that resolution for you with Ms. Sullivan, and that's all I have.
Could you state your name for the record?
Bert Cottle, sorry.
Thank you very much. Yep. City of Palmer. City of Houston.
Mr. Mayor, Assembly members. Yes, the 49ers won.
Yeah. You're already bragging.
You better believe it. However, it's going to be pretty ugly in my house on Sunday. My wife is a Giants fan. My name is Jim Johansson. I'm the deputy mayor for the city of Houston. I just wanted to, our report is that the historic preservation, the whole thing, the council has it, every member of the council has it right now and going over it. Email's been sent out to every council member to review it, and any input, the mayor has already put her input to the council, so to speak, where she stands with it. I'm in the process of currently reviewing it myself. Everybody else is too, so we're going to come together as a council to see what we want to do with that. We're working on our CIP list right now. Mayor Thompson is going to go down to Juneau, I believe, once on the city's dime and once on our own. To try to fight for our improvement list and whatnot. I'm sure everybody else is doing the same thing. Other than that, that was it. Anybody have any questions for the city of Houston? None. That was, the New Orleans game was pretty close.
Yeah, you must have had some real back and forth there in the last couple minutes.
Lost my voice.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. I see the school district here. Did you have any comments?
Good evening, Mayor and Assembly members. just have a few things that I'd like to report. Dr. Paramo, along with myself and Director of Career and Tech Education, Rita Priest, we all traveled to Juneau, and we met with the Department of Ed Commissioner, Mike Hanley. We went there to discuss Matsu Borough School's school district's Early College Alaska School proposal. That's kind of a middle college program. Anyway, that was well received. Of course, there still has to be further discussion before action can be taken on that. We also spent several hours with Eddie Jeans, who is representing the district as a lobbyist for us. And in those discussions with Eddie, we just identified some priorities for the district. In February, Dr. Paramo will go on down to Juneau, and with the priorities of asking for a BSA increase, also one of her priorities for the district and for the Matsu Borough School District will be to have a formula that's a dollar, actual dollar amount for transportation so that we don't continue to have deficits in transportation. And then also, you know, if you remember last year, we got a one-time energy money for $2.3 million. We're also seeking energy relief, too. So those will be the priorities for the district, and hopefully we have your blessing as we go down there and ask for those increases. And we also, when we were down there in Juneau, we were able to strike up a partnership with the STEM program. Mary Hockla, I don't know if folks in the room here are familiar with STEM. It's science, technology, engineering, and math. And Mokotan's has a program in place, TLIN, and also the Career and Tech High School. So we're hoping to get some very reasonable professional development with them also. And we also met with Paul Prusine. So anyway, it was a very good trip, and we look forward to a productive one in February. Thanks.
There was a pre-filing to raise the foundation formula.
Yeah, the 139.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're supporting that?
Well, at this point, you know, we're going to support anything that's better than zero. So we're hopeful. Just given that we didn't get an increase last year, you know, that we just got one-time money, so we kind of lost pace by not having that increase last year. So, you know, it's a start.
Single member Solomon.
Oh, I'm sorry, Gene Stone. I'm the assistant superintendent of instruction for the Matsu Borough School District.
Thank you, Assembly Member Solomon. My last item of business.
Yeah, sorry.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Matsu Convention and Visitors Bureau, I think I saw Ms. Quill. Please come forward and state your name for the record.
Mr. Mayor, members of the Assembly, I'm really pleased to be here to update you on the Matsu Convention and Visitors Bureau. My name is Bonnie Quill, and I'm the Executive Director. Last month, I distributed several items to each of you, including our FY 2011 annual report, our winter newsletter, and the new 2012 Matsu Valley Visitor Guide. I've brought additional copies with me in case you'd like to take more with you. In each of these communications, you'll discover the many programs and projects the Matsu CVB is administering. In order to encourage visitors to choose the Matsu Valley as part of their Alaska vacation, on January 6th, 50,000 2012 Matsu visitor guides were direct mailed to high potential visitors responding to the Alaska Travel Industry Association marketing efforts. These labels or leads purchased from ATIA indicate that they're planning to come visit Alaska in 2012. The mailing is timed during peak travel season and is coordinated during ATIA cable television campaign. In state, we signed up to participate in the Matsu Valley Outdoorsman Show, the Great Alaska Sportsman Show in Anchorage, and the Fairbanks Outdoor Show. We recently designed and purchased a new 8-foot by 10-foot pop-up to be used at these trade shows. Along with distributing our visitor guide, we'll be promoting our Valley Values website with an additional handout. 3 years ago at this time, during the recession, we launched the Valley Values website promoting specials to in-state residents. And we intend to increase our marketing efforts on South Central radio and web advertising this spring. Our popular Yahoo Matsu television ad is also scheduled to run on KTUU for 6 weeks in May and June. Our most important marketing tool is our website, alaskavisit.com. The Matsu CVB board last year committed to improving our website visitor experience and went through the process of a website assessment. That plan guided us through a detailed expansion of our site. Since the site launched, we've added a Google Map feature to our listings and also a mobile site for smartphones. We recently implemented an online leads program where visitors to the site can request information and it will automatically send an email to those businesses who can fulfill the request. Since April 2011, 6,180 referrals or email leads have been sent out to our members on the website. Along with the website development came the Matsu CVB joining the social media community. And able to be a part of the communications of our destination, we are currently active on Facebook and have 1,623 fans. I hope that you've all become fans. And we regularly post comments promoting local events and activities. You can follow our Facebook posts at Visit Alaska's Matsu Valley. Our videos and slideshows have already been popular on the YouTube channel, Yahoo Matsu. Late this summer, we finished producing a meeting planner brochure. Even though it can be challenging to coordinate large group meetings in the borough, our mission is to facilitate and grow the meeting market as well. The brochure will be used as a tool to showcase the unique and varied meeting facilities in the valley. Matsu CVB is also partnering with ATIA and attending the LA Adventure Travel Show, which took place last weekend in Long Beach. This is the only outside consumer show we'll participate in this spring, but has the highest attendance on the West Coast. We are also sponsoring co-op advertising pages in the June issue of Alaska Magazine, which will include additional editorial on the Matsu Valley. In April, we will attend the Travel Industry Association International Powwow in Los Angeles, where we will partner with the Kenai Peninsula Tourism Marketing Council and the Valdez CVB for the sixth year. This three-day event provides over 40 scheduled 20-minute meetings with international tour operators who currently sell Alaska product or are planning to create a new tour. Our latest research reveals 11% of the visitors to the Matsu are international, and they stay longer, and they spend more money. During National Travel and Tourism Week, May 5th through the 13th, we're planning several events, including an open house and launching the I Found the Visitor Center campaign. The national theme of the event is Why Travel Matters, and we will be showcasing our tourism works for the Valley testimonials and two new tourism success stories. Study after study has demonstrated the economic benefits of travel promotion. the new first-of-its-kind report, The Power of Destination Marketing, right here. It's a sophisticated compilation of case studies and other data on the positive return on investment that states and destinations have reaped from substantial travel promotion. It helps make the case by showcasing studies of the promotion efforts of two popular U.S. destinations, the state of Michigan and the city of Greater Philadelphia. And I would be happy to share this report with any of you. And finally, I would like to update you on the progress of the South Gateway Visitor Center project. Our board of directors recognizes your support in including $2.5 million in your 2012 legislative priorities. Thank you very much. On December 16th, I submitted a grant application to the National Scenic Byways for $823,000 for site design of the visitor center, including engineering, interpretive consultants, and landscaping. This is a resubmission of a much larger request in the last grant application process last summer. The grants are expected to be awarded in May. We also have some good news. The Matanuska Electric Association manager, Joe Griffith, contacted the Matsu CVB in December with news that they are in the process of acquiring the 50-acre Homestead RV property for right-of-way use for the future Eklutna power plant. They realize this is the preferred site of the future South Gateway Visitor Center and have communicated they want to work with us on the development. This puts us one step closer and is action that will leverage future partnerships and funding. We're also here tonight in support of resolution number 12-006 in the consent agenda, supporting and directing that funds received from any future sale of the current visitor center parcel be dedicated to the development of the new South Gateway facility, sponsored by Assemblymember Vern Halter. Thank you. This action will help leverage funds for the future project. The approximate 5-acre parcel was donated to the Matsu CVB by the Great Western Bank, and the building was funded by the legislature for $350,000. Matsu CVB transferred the title to the land to the borough so the borough could receive the funding for the visitor center. We ask for your unanimous support of that resolution.
Very to the point. Assemblymember Halter.
I've got one question on the NEA and that. There's, do you have some sort of written agreement or discussion?
No, they actually are closing this week with the owners. We currently don't have any written agreement. I have a verbal agreement with General Manager Griffith, but he stated that they very much want to work with our organization to develop the visitor center at that site. There should be at some point. I mean, they're closing this week, and so I'm expecting to be on their agenda soon. In fact, I was supposed to be on Monday, but I was never informed of that. But I'll be there soon.
Right, and that's a special meeting Monday. But so you have some board members that are watching that pretty closely. Mm-hmm. Assemblymember Keel.
Your application to the National Scenic Highway and County for the $600,000 plus grant, which I presume is for the first site. Is it problematic in the grant application and the fact that
It actually was timely in that my communications with MEA happened the week that I was finishing the grant. So I did put information in the grant that we were very positive about this action, that it was actually, you know, something that was a really good news for the project. In fact, we feel, not through CVB, that this is great because whether the borough or the state or through federal funds we were to acquire that site, it would have been a process that we now don't have to go through.
I should thank your grants would be helped better than if you didn't, if you hadn't even purchased it.
Right. And the site is actually identified within the supporting documents of the grant, both in the preliminary feasibility study and then the future meetings and resolutions.
Assemblymember Cato, just a follow-up question on a different topic. I didn't see it, but you mentioned international travelers to the rural. What was the percentage of people that...
The most recent research shows that 11% of the visitors to the borough are international.
Is that number grown or
shrunk? We're actually going to find out this winter in March. The new AVSP study is going to be released, and so that'll be information that'll be 5 years newer. And we do believe that the international visitors have increased. Yes.
Assemblymember Halter,
cruise ships are landing in Anchorage. How many of them are getting up here in the valley? How long do they
travel? The ones in Anchorage? That's a 12-hour stop. There are only 7 of those port visits through the summer in Anchorage. And there are optional tours to visit some of our members up in the valley. Some of them go south, actually.
Do you have a marketing plan, general plan for the valley for you folks, getting them off the boat up here to Anchorage?
The optional tours that are available to those passengers are provided on the ship through the cruise line.
So an individual business in the valley here would have to go through the cruise line.
Mm-hmm. To be on that, in that brochure. Mm-hmm. But there, you know, there are independent travelers too that can often research on their own, like through our website, through our marketing efforts, that find additional options to do other than just what's sold on the ship. That ship has 1,200 per visit. But I'll add, though, we are really excited. This summer, an additional Princess ship is going to bring an additional 40,000 passengers to South Central Alaska, which will have the opportunity to add a pre- or post-cruise. And it was also announced that Norwegian Cruise Line in 2013 is bringing a ship back to Alaska that will bring 38,000 more passengers back to South Central Alaska. That means those ships will be embarking or disembarking from Whittier or Seward and will be coming through Anchorage and have the opportunity. That's one of our biggest market is marketing to those pre- and post-cruisers. And that's 78,000 additional people that we wouldn't have.
We might be getting a lot of Mediterranean business. So are you the designated person for our Economic Development Advisory Board meeting?
I am, Mr. Mayor, but one of our board members will be present at the Monday meeting.
Oh, good.
Because I'll be in Juneau for ATIA. Okay.
Thank you. Anything under Assembly Public Relations? Oh, we've got the Joint Assembly School Board. Assemblymember Colbert, did you want to report on that?
Yes, sir. The committee met on the 9th, and the superintendent presented a post-outcome study of how students are doing in the working and higher education world, and apparently they're doing quite well. I think that study was mailed out to you all. I won't get into it. I suppose if you want the presentation, that would be a good thing for the Joint School Board Assembly meeting we had coming up. School bonds is always a big topic at this meeting. The district and the borough are still working on an agreement on which projects the district would manage, you know, with the playgrounds and whatnot, and that hasn't been resolved yet. The board is going to have a budget work session on the 18th, and I was pleased to hear that they have settled on asking for more in the BSA. That wasn't decided at this point when we met. The Cottonwood Creek Elementary traffic improvement is working, going forward. The engineers are working on alternatives to improve the access, ingress, and egress there on Sewer Meridian. And a brief discussion on the site selection process and Public Works said they're moving forward on saving some money on the site work for the Valley Pathways project. As well, the site selection committee, school site selection committee met Thursday, the 12th. And there was a lot of discussion about Iditarod Elementary site, new site, and the need to get on with the procurement. There's some property been offered, but there hasn't been a real feeling that there's been a real aggressive negotiation back and forth, and the committee urged the administration to get on with it and see if it could culminate in something there. That the problem is that the asking price for the parcel is much more than what the appraisal came in at, and so we're hoping to come to terms on a different amount or a smaller amount of property. The Connect High School site, the committee was a little bit stunned here that really nothing has happened as far as going out and going after the highest ranked site, and so we urged them to move forward. We kind of felt that we're losing time here, and it's critical if we want to get that project underway and get the design going. There was kind of a curveball. There's a charter school site that we approved members to sit on the site selection committee for Frontier so they can look at a permanent site. Appears to be a little cabin fever in the air right now, Mr. Mayor. Board Member Larson was upset that public property was being looked at as a possible future site for a charter school. He wanted to delay action on moving forward consideration of the Frontier site and get some policy direction from the assembly first. And he asked the committee to do that, and that didn't pass. So that process is still moving forward and will, come will culminate with the Planning Commission and then assembly review of a selected site. On another note related to that, he's got 4 or 5 resolutions before the school board that address his concerns about charter schools. And so we'll see what happens on that note from the school board. He is concerned that I have kind of analyzed this taxable situation that we are in with the schools that they have to pay all the property taxes and privately owned, and trying to figure out another way around that so that there's more money in the classroom to run these schools. And I hope to draft a piece of legislation for the assembly to look at that would create a financing scheme to be able to finance the schools and then lease them back to the charter schools in the school district, or how that's going to work out. We have to work out the legalese and what that would look like, but he's kind of trying to make a bit of a preemptive strike to kill us before we even had that off the ground. So a lot going on that way. You might hear a little of that scuttlebutt, but hopefully we can kind of just work through our normal process, reviewing sites and work through our committees and our commissions and through the assembly so that, we stick to a process that we've developed. So anyway, that was, a bit of the meeting there. So, and one other note, I know that Team 4 is going to move on. I don't know how much longer he's going to be with the district, but unfortunately he's been a real good hand with the numbers over there, but I've heard that he is going to be taking a job down south. So that's all I have, unless anyone has any questions.
I don't see any. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
Senator Member Halter.
High school, middle school, new project. There's no site yet?
No site yet. And we're hoping that the administration is moving quickly to take action on that. That they've kind of got some direction in mind. And I think the manager might, he was listening in on a meeting, so I'm sure he's much
very well aware of what all the moving parts are right now. One of the problems Vernon, we've had, I think, is the turnover with the department heads from that department, community development. We haven't had the continuity that we need for acquisition of sites and taking care of the real estate deals. And so hopefully that'll be overcome, and we'll get somebody, and we're moving forward.
Okay. So it appears from the comments there is a ranking at this point.
Yes, they have the committee has done an excellent job of having the sites ranked. And I was I made part of the meeting, and I was glad that I did, because I think on that committee there are three or four different ideas on how the staff should proceed on acquiring those properties. So with some discussion, we've got direction for that. We're confident that we can pull something together. We have already been in contact with brokers. That is what this committee strongly recommend, is instead of doing it in-house, we go with, I shouldn't say a broker. Mr. Solomon, what is the correct term now for these type of people?
A licensee.
Yeah, we are in contact with, we think, some very qualified licensees to really serve in that purpose and to get moving. Just to let you know that without information going out as far as ranking, we've had a few property owners that property looks very promising already contact my staff and say, hey, don't forget us when you're looking for a site. So we're confident we can move forward quickly.
The site's going to have a new elementary, new high school, middle school, and then later new, so three buildings on the same site.
Maybe, or it could be a couple different sites, depending on the size. I mean, it's nothing to say that all three buildings have to be on the same site. I think that would be preferable if it could be laid out properly, but that was the direction that we got. It could be, you know, 10, 20, 30, all in a general area. They do not have to be combined. So that gives us a little bit more negotiating room and flexibility on pulling this together.
Okay, thank you. Assembly Public Relations, anything to report? Manager comments.
Yes, good evening. I am... I'm very happy to publicly announce that beginning Monday, Mr. Donald Moore is serving as our assistant borough manager on an interim basis, and that this week we are going through the process of interviewing for an office assistant, an economic development director, and a community development director. And so I'm excited about those possibilities and being able to obtain some more quality talent so we can do the work of the borough. Under state legislation, I am going to be in Juneau from February 6th to 9th. That will preclude me from attending the next assembly meeting, and doggone it, I'm going to miss you guys. Also, too, under number 4, the Alaska Natural Gas Transportation Projects, we had Mr. Larry Pursley when we were in D.C. He could really kind of give us an analysis and handicap on our projects if you would like him to come. He said certainly when he's back in Minnesota, Alaska, he would be very happy to come. So if that would be appropriate with you, I'll start making arrangements for him to show up here and give you his insight on what are the opportunities and how far along they are in the process.
Pertaining to gas lines.
Gas lines.
Right. We can tell the mayor's interested. Assemblymember Keel.
If we have an opportunity to listen to Mr. Pursley, I'd like to hear what he has to say. He did provide some comments at the recent gas energy law seminar. 5 or 6 weeks ago, it was very well spoken, very well informed, and information that would be pertinent and helpful to the borough. depending on when that might be scheduled, we might also be listening to one person. Perhaps it would be an opportunity to reschedule a meeting for you guys
I should be speaking into your microphone.
Mr. Freed, we would include him. If we're going to have one meeting, we might have another, and would, as an economist, someone of the demographics and the economy of the Matsu Borough, which he's
knowledgeable about. Is that it, Mr. Manager?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But Mr. Attorney?
Just a couple of things. One, I did write a brief memorandum regarding expenditures of area-wide funds, non-area-wide funds, service area funds, and taxation. So hopefully you have that. I know that we're looking for, it was driven by some of the Holter's request, looking for solutions as to the Talkeetna water and sewer. So some of them Arvin and Culver, I'll have to email that to you. I'll PDF it and email it to you. The other thing was the state redistricting trial has concluded. I did listen in as I was able to from time to time during the week. There was nothing, just a little lawsuit. There was no, at least not that I heard. I didn't listen to the whole thing. It was broadcast via teleconference. Some glitches at first, and then some glitches during the week. Sometimes I was able to get on them with meetings and work, but sometimes I would be sitting in my office and I would just turn it on and kind of have it playing in the background. I heard nothing, you know, earth shattering or, you know, an aha or gotcha moment or anything like that. So I don't know when the opinion will be out. I didn't hear the conclusions of the trial. The newspaper, I think, is reporting they're expecting beginning in February. I don't know if the judge said that or not, but as you may or may not know, there was one set of remaining plaintiffs, private party plaintiffs, up in Fairbanks. There were a bunch of people in the gallery kind of sitting and watching Borough of Fairbanks, City or Borough of Ketchikan, and Aleutians East Borough on Amicus. So they'll be writing some form of, or Amicus, depending on East Coast or West Coast. They'll be writing some form of brief either for the judge or they're going to wait until appeal to take a position on everything.
You did tell me today that the appeal period ended for the railroad extension ROD.
That's correct. You have an update, actually.
Oh, okay.
I'll defer back to the manager.
Okay, Mr. Manager.
Yes, we have Mr. Perkins here to see if he can come forward. There is an annual project status fact sheet that you all have on your counter, and there were emails to Mr. Culver and Mr. Arvin a little bit earlier today. Here to answer any questions, this kind of gives you a great overview of where we are. I know it's very important, and Joe can give you any particulars you have regarding this.
Yes, Mayor. On the bed tax, my understanding, your memo said it was a sales tax, not a property tax. I still don't understand why it can't be used for the worthy cause of the sewer. It was not a property tax.
It is not a property tax. Right. Absolutely not. But it is an area-wide tax.
Mm-hmm.
Area-wide tax, the short answer section, there's a specific statute on point that says area-wide taxes can be expended only on area-wide functions. I mean, that is the answer. The Homer versus Gangle, that's the case that said a bed tax is a sales tax. Our code, and as approved by the voters and as implemented, applies it area-wide, that is inside and outside the cities, and under the state statute and the prohibition. And of course, as I noted in the memo, there is an exception. You can use it for a tourism campaign, and you could do that area-wide, non-area-wide, grant, service area, however you'd like to do your tourism campaign, you can use this source of area-wide funds.
Sure, it's going to the bathroom, it's kind of tourism
funds. campaign. And no, I'm not like personal friends with Ms. Fuller or anything, but that is the one exemption, is to be able to give the money for the MSCBB, the campaign of getting tourists.
We put literature in the outhouses up there.
You can pay for the literature with the bed tax.
That's right. Okay, let's be continued. Mr. Perkins, thank you for being here. And you could maybe remind us of your open house that's coming up soon, too. Or, that was the railroad, wasn't it? Yeah.
Mr. Merritt, I think tomorrow night is the railroad open house for the valley.
Good. So are we going to get the final design tomorrow night?
I think the final design will probably be in the summer, but I think we've got quite a bit of it designed, and we're probably sitting about 60% overall in the design of the whole thing, and it will be, the design will be completed by this summer, the design of the entire route.
And would this be the appropriate venue for the city of Houston, for instance, to make known their request for siding or pieces of the puzzle up on their end of the project?
Mr. Mayor, I think probably at that open house the railroad's having tomorrow at which restaurant? It's the Evangelo's. Would be a very good time for the city of Houston to talk about anything that they would want or think that they need from the railroad.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Keel,
this is a point of information that open house begins at 4 o'clock at Evangelos and lasts until 6:30.
Thank you. Do you have a formal presentation or are you here to answer questions?
Mr. Mayor, I'm really here to answer questions. What I've basically done is to give a report to the manager as to the activities that happened in the last year on the project, to include a rather descriptive accounting of the four appropriations that we have received, how we spend them, how much we need to finish it, and to give you the results of what our estimate was when the Surface Transportation Board selected the Houston South Route. And it's a fairly lengthy document. I do not expect you all to look at it now, but I can certainly come back to a future assembly meeting and answer any questions that you may have on the document.
I did notice a question mark there about how much the borough was going to need for administrative expenses. How is that determined, Mr. Manager?
That is a question. I have been in discussion with Mr. Schwartz and Mr. Perkins on that. It's my understanding that there is a resolution or ordinance that is requiring us to take the 5% of grants for administration are capping at 5%. So we'll have to flesh that out. But as you can see, and I think the point that Mr. Perkins is making, is when we hit $110 million with the project, that is quite a large sum. So the concern is, could this money be put back into the project as opposed to administrative work and overhead? And that's a discussion we'll be having with the assembly and seeking direction from the assembly on that. And I know we have a project we're a little short, and we have a provision to have a portion of 5% go back into the project and project work. So we're covering administratively right now, but this really needs, I think, for full public disclosure, really be weighed in by the assembly.
Thank you. I was curious about how that was going to work out.
Mr. Mayor, I addressed that in quite a bit of detail, as which you all can take a look at. And
except you used 8%, I noticed.
No, sir, I used 5.
No, I see wrong here. Okay. Are there any other questions?
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Arvin?
Yeah, a question and comment to Mr. Perkins. Thanks for the update that you sent out. It is very detailed, and I'm sure it's a good document for a lot of people to get their head around where the project is today. But unless I missed it in here, what What was the result? There was a bid for another phase that went out on the street about a month or so ago. Where did that end up? Is it awarded? And how much was it for? And who got it? So on and so forth. Can you give us a snapshot of that, please?
Yes, sir, I can. We did have segment one, and I also addressed this in the memo, why we bid segment one first and so on, which is the first 5 miles of the line from the port. We have had that out for bid for the last basically 7 or 8 months and have kept delaying bid opening because we did not have a record of decision on our EIS from the Surface Transportation Board. Well, we finally got that in late November. And after we got it, we had a bid opening scheduled for December 6th for segment one. We opened bids on December 6th, and the low bidder was Bristol Construction at about, I think, somewhere right at $17 million. And if you will, if you look at the budget that we have, you can basically see under the FY 2011 state grant, it says segment one construction awarded. And we have $19 million listed there because we do need some contingencies in it in case we have some changes we have to make on the contract. The actual bid was right at $17 million.
Thank you. We hope the rest of the bidding continues in that vein. Thank you very much, Assemblymember Keel.
Just one question, Mr. Perkins. Currently, the total estimated project cost is $272,500,000. When this project began, what was the estimated project cost?
Through the mayor, we didn't really have an estimated cost for this route because we didn't know which route we were going on. And so what we had was a variation, and if I remember correctly, when we looked at it, it started at about 220 and went to 300 depending on how things worked out. So there wasn't really a number attached to this with this specific route. When we made our predictions on what it would cost, we were really taking guessing at how much a mile it would be. I think the figure 218 was out for a while. People had mentioned that. However, that didn't include the EIS and didn't include the 17.5, which went into the bimodal project of the loop in the port, which is not part of the rail extension.
Thank you. Well, thank you. Is that all,
Mr. Mayor?
Assemblymember Arvin?
Yeah, to Mr. Perkins, I just wanted to mention, we during our legislative and assembly joint meeting we had here in December, I just wanted to comment to you that you got some high marks with your knowledge of the project and your delivery of information as the legislature needs it while considering this project. So I just want to thank you for the good work that you're doing, and it's being recognized in Juneau.
Thank you, sir.
That's high praise indeed. Thank you. Madam Clerk.
The clerk's report is in your red folder. It has your meeting scheduled for January and February, a very short quasi-judicial report, and also the annual records management report. We used to provide a records management report at every meeting. It's probably something you don't want to read every meeting. So we decided to go on an annual basis. It just gives you a rundown of what that records division's been doing. And then I sent the assembly out an email regarding the audio that we're looking at for the proposed new chambers. We will be meeting with the audio gentleman, the audio company, on Thursday to discuss, get a sample of what we're looking at. And instead of the actual, I'm going to ask about wired in mics at the assembly horseshoe rather than the, I can't remember what they're called right now, I want to say portable, but phantom powered mics, thank you, Brenda. But we're still looking at the push button. And I wanted to make sure that that was not an issue for most of the body because it is something you're going to have to push to talk. There will be four mics remaining open at all times. The mayor's one of them. I do believe MEA uses those, and they work great for MEA.
I think the school board went to that, too. You really can't have good quality when you've got this many mics open all the time. Not even with today's technology.
But that is all I have, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. You are making sure there's lights in the new assembly chamber.
Yes.
After our procurement discussions today. Lonnie, did you order the hats with the lights on them, like the mayor hats for the mayor?
The mine, coal mine?
Yeah. Although I didn't say those kind. I didn't say
that. That's not what I meant to say. So let them say wear down.
Okay,
let's
start.
Mark, thank you. Just a question for the clerk. During the meeting scheduled, we postponed the action on the ethics ordinance, and that's to be February
16th at 6 p.m.
That'll be a special meeting.
Yes. Yeah. And I will send out a new meeting schedule tomorrow.
Thank you.
Okay. Citizens and other correspondents, any comments on that? There's no IMs, so we're ready for unfinished business. 11-022 was postponed to time certain February 16th, so we are now to AM 11-107. Madam Clerk, would you read that into the record?
And for real approval of change order number one to R&M Consultants in the amount of $175,081 for the Horseshoe Lake Road Upgrade Design Project.
That is on the table already.
It is, Mr. Mayor.
Okay, Assemblymember Tully.
I need to declare a conflict of interest. My company does work directly for R&M, even though not this division, but that's the same thing you go to.
Okay. Should you leave? You should. Okay. Any discussion? Could we leave
there?
Assemblymember Culver?
I appreciate staff bringing back the scope work and budget for this. That's basically what I think we need to have before we approve these inspection with change orders. Instead of looking through there, the hourly rates we're paying are pretty high. They're premiums. And so with the economy down the way it is, I would think we need to be shopping for price a little bit more. So. And we didn't get a chance to talk about it in our procurement, but we can get professional design contracts on price if it's borough money and only borough money. When we talk about RSA money that's not a legislative grant, we can do that, and I think we ought to, but I think we need to talk a little more. Thank you.
Are you speaking against the ordinance?
Well, I'm going to support it, but I want to see the project get done. But I want to, I'd like us to tighten up that ship. I know these rates are out there in the industry, and they're doing pretty well on this project. Thank you.
Okay. Any further comments? Is there objection? Hearing none, it passes. There's no vetoes once again. So, we are ready for persons to be heard. Is there anybody? There's nobody? Oh, that's right. Yeah, this is. What a difference on new assembly. So, we're ready for public hearings. And first is Ordinance 12-001. Madam Clerk.
Ordinance Fair Number 12-001, Ordinance reappropriating $30,000 from the Fund 435, Project Number 10145, Matsu Convention and Visitors Bureau Building Repairs to Fund 440, Project Number 10157, Gamboni Ice Resurfacer, with accompanying Resolution Serial Number 12-001, a resolution amending the budgets for Project Number 10145, Matsu Convention and Visitors Bureau Building Repairs, Drywall Repair and Interior Paint, and Project Number 10157, Zamboni Ice Resurfacer.
Okay, a little note that we get this right on the button at 7 o'clock. There's nobody signed up to speak to this. Does anybody wish to come forward in the public hearing? Seeing and hearing none, we'll bring it back to Assemblymember Collier.
I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-001 and resolution serial number 12-001.
Is there discussion? Assemblymember Culver?
Yeah. Do I have a form of that?
Are you talking to us?
Yeah.
You have the floor.
Oh, thanks, sir. This is money. I think you all are aware of what the situation is when you read the packet, but we put money in the budget. I think we're clear at the time when we approved this in the FY12 budget that they were looking for an electric option for that Zamboni, and apparently they cost more than what was budgeted. So that will improve the air quality in the arena, so, and reduce maintenance costs. So they spend more money, but if it's something that it's got better technology, it's probably going to be worth it.
Any further discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none, that passes. Ordinance 12, got to get used to saying 12 now, 12-002, Madam Clerk.
An ordinance amending MSB 2.12.090 to establish a maximum time limit of 1 hour for the audience participation section of the Assembly agenda and to provide the option of allowing public hearings to continue to time certain where more than 1 hour of public comment is heard per ordinance.
Okay. I'm sure we have to sign up on this. Thank you. This is a public hearing, and the first one signed up is Mr. William Bruce, followed by Jeremiah Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am William Harry Brew, Master Sergeant, United States Air Force, retired. The afternoon of August 15, 1962, I stood in a large hall in the Enlistment Center in Lower Manhattan Island and raised my right hand and took an oath to protect and defend the United States, our Constitution, from all enemies, foreign and domestic. I did so honorably for the next 22 years, 1 month, and 15 days, retiring from the Alaskan Air Command at Elmendorf Air Force Base October 1, 1984, to the home here in the borough that my wife and I had purchased. Here I built a business, served in various positions in homeowners associations, community councils, and other nonprofit and trade organizations for the next 20 years. I was appointed to the Plotting Board by Mayor Menard, where I had to renew my oath again to defend the United States Constitution and the Constitution of the State of Alaska. Then I went on and was assigned to the Planning Commission by Dr. Kohlberg, and I did so again, take the oath proudly and willingly with great reverence to protect it and the Constitution of the State of Alaska. I am also a registered legal voter, taxpayer, and citizen of our borough, where we, my wife and myself, help pay the bills of the borough. Tonight, I want to speak to the proposed ordinance 2212090. But to reinforce my statement, I must first quote two documents that we as Alaskans and citizens of the United States should hold dear. The first is the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which states, and I quote, "Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or more especially," quote again, "abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people to peaceably assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances." The Alaska Constitution further states in section 1.2, "All political power is inherent in the people. All government originates with the people, is founded upon their will only, and is instituted solely for the good of the people as a whole." Section 1.5 states, Every person may freely speak, write, and publish on all subjects, being responsible for the abuse of that right. Section 1.6 states, the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government shall never be abridged. It is my belief that this assembly, along with you, Mr. Mayor and Mr. Manager, are on an attempt to limit the length of time the public is allowed to speak. I feel that the proposed change to the ordinance 212090 is a direct violation of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, the Alaska Constitution, excuse me. Additionally, the limitation to 3 minutes in borough code of individuals or a nonprofit corporation or a for-profit corporation rights to testify, in my opinion, is a violation of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution of the State of Alaska as well. In support of my position, I think the Supreme Court of the United States ruled recently in Citizens United versus the Federal Election Commission that the provision, the freedom of speech shall not be abridged, was upheld. Thus, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Manager, and Assembly members, I call for you to uphold your oath and postpone indefinitely this proposed ordinance 212090, thus killing it for all time and protecting the rights of all the people in the borough. I also challenge each of you to re-examine yourself and try to understand that you were elected to serve the people of this borough, not corporations, business, or other entities. The people vote, gentlemen, only the people. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Miller, followed by Joe Irvine.
It's Jeremiah Millen with an N.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly. My name is Jeremiah Millen. I'm Executive Director of Friends of Mat-Su. Regardless of what you may think about Friends of Mat-Su, one of the key values that we have held really close and that we try to ensure is a robust public process, transparency in decision-making, and involving the public in decisions as much as possible, which means the right to speak. When I originally prepared the testimony tonight, it was much different because I came in later and there was a little bit more background on the proposed ordinance. But what you need to know is over the last few days, our phones have been ringing off the hook with constituents that represent pretty much everybody's district that's here at the table. And I think that those phone calls and this concern about potentially limiting public process highlight a certain distrust in this administration at some level, this assembly at some level, and the processes and how they've been run. So I want to at least express to you, though that my testimony has changed a little bit, my goals for the testimony are the same, and that is that we preserve a working public process to the fullest extent and that we should be enhancing the public process, not limiting it. As I read this, it's a little unclear to me because there's a sentence in there, when a public hearing lasts for more than an hour on a single ordinance, the assembly may continue a public hearing to the time certain later on in the meeting or a later meeting. And I guess the may, language like may, causes a lot of concerns for people. I understand that it would set the limit to 60 minutes per ordinance for participation. And what we're concerned about is ensuring that, the public's voice truly will be heard. And if it doesn't, we feel that it'll have detrimental impacts to the public's right to address their own government and participate in a meaningful and timely manner. Like the gentleman there said before, I want to remind you all that your constituents represent the public that elected you to office. And though we always understand that there's important business and you guys have a lot on your plates, and we appreciate that. There's nothing more important than making sure that the public has the right to speak and has adequate input. Currently, there's already, as you know, a 3-minute time limit per person in place. The suggested changes would only provide less opportunities for the public overall. And I'll just wrap this up. I think you've well recognized what happens when the public's voices are not allowed to be heard. The public gets really cranky, as they should be. You've witnessed it firsthand. And what you need to realize is that when the public shows up to an assembly meeting to speak, they're taking time away from their families, their busy lives, and they've got something to say. And it's important to make sure that that voice is heard. And furthermore, it's their one sort of opportunity to engage you as elected officials. This is where the playing field is more even, and they can express their concerns. You know, I listened a while back to a whole conversation about Sharia law and the resolution that came out of the borough, and so, you know, several assembly members were wrapping themselves in the Constitution, which I appreciate. The Constitution is dear to me as well. But what I would say is, if you do care fully and understand the Constitution, you'll understand that the First Amendment protects freedom of speech. And I hope that you will consider that when we look at public process issues. We don't want to have a system that's undemocratic and frankly, with all due respect, anti-American. And so we hope that you will consider to protect the public's interest here, and we don't see that there's specific changes that need to be made at this time, and if there's changes that are made, we want to make sure that it's enhancing the public process. So I've gone on longer than I should have. I thank you all for your service and your work, and we look forward to working with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Jill Irvine, followed by Joseph Hawkins, and we've gotten a little sloppy on the time.
I'm Joel Irvin, and I'd like to say that Joe Hawkins told me outside that he wouldn't be able to make it. He had to go home. He had a family issue, so he said whatever I say he agrees with. Yeah. So good evening, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. I'm the president of Friends of Mat-Su, and as Jeremiah said earlier, one of the many things we believe in is an open public process, and we also work hard to promote public involvement in the public process, and that's why you see often a number of Friends of Mat-Su members here commenting at this opportunity. I have to be honest with you, and you guys know this, there's not a real positive opinion right now out there of lawmakers. I mean, whether it's the trust issue, the ethics issue that's coming up before you, that's postponed, that, you know, people, I came expecting to hear about that, didn't know about it until I got here. And now this issue of limiting free speech is another kind of concern for the public about, which can put, you know, kind of work into your image of as a negative. Here's one of the things that I've experienced in my time of observing the assembly. We come before you, we speak. I sometimes think that the decisions of how you're going to vote are already made ahead of time, regardless of what we say. So I question whether you folks really listen to us, what we say, in terms of your decision making. Now, I've sent a number of emails to folks over the years, and frankly, I have no idea if they're ever read or not. Some of them are responded to occasionally, but as far as the body, I have no idea whether you opened that and looked at it. I do have this opportunity to come before you and speak publicly, not only to you, but to the folks back there who can hear what we're saying to you. This is an opportunity that I really hope you don't curtail. Now, I understand your reasonings and your rationalizations behind it, but it's a slippery slope when you start going down the process of limiting public testimony. I question, you know, how often is this really a problem? Occasionally, I'm sure it is. It extends the time. The other thing, I just have a question about the Jeremiah mentioned the word may. I have a question about the second sentence of the ordinance that says the assembly will not consider the ordinance without first hearing all the interested persons wishing to be heard. Does that mean that if it's postponed to a meeting later, that you are not going to make that decision that night on that? If you're going to wait until everybody's heard, that could postpone and postpone and postpone forever. So that just gives you justification to say, well, time's up. I hope you don't pass this ordinance.
Good timing. Mr. Hawkins is not here, but I guess we've already heard from him. Chris Mariola. Mariola, you can state your own name for the record.
Yeah, once again, I'm sloppy handwriting. Krista Masielek. I live in the Moose Creek, so some community council area, but I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I just heard about this ordinance yesterday, and I haven't had time to fully digest it, but I want to emphasize what's been said already, and that's the chilling effect that this would have on the democratic process. You know, there's no reason for people to come out on a cold night or a summer night when it's nice out. Regardless, if there's no reason for someone to come out, to take their time to come to a meeting, only to be turned away. It doesn't make any sense at all. Jeremiah is correct that when people are not heard, they get very cranky. And it can have a huge backfiring type of effect. So I think this ordinance is ill-conceived. I think it's a bad idea. I don't think it's necessary. And I urge all of you to vote no. Thank you.
Thank you. That's all that's signed up. Does anybody else want to speak? Please come forward, state your name for the record. Okay, it doesn't matter which order.
Good evening, Mayor DeVilbiss and Assembly. My name is Jamie Duhamel. I'm the Outreach Coordinator of the Mount Valley Coalition. I'm speaking on Ordinance 12-002 tonight because I'm confused. In fact, I debated whether or not to speak tonight because the nature of the resolution leaves a lot of questions. But I decided that the potential consequences of such an ordinance are worthy of being spoken about. And there's some important things that I want to say to you tonight. So you each spent a lot of money and made a lot of promises to have the privilege of sitting in those seats. You made a lot of people believe that you were ethical, fair-minded, and willing to represent the will of your constituents. For example, Mayor DeVilbiss promised to make increased public input a top priority. In fact, on January 30th, 2011, the day he was sworn in, Mayor DeVilbiss told the Frontiersman that he, and I quote, would like to set the assembly meetings up so that the packets and everything are available online and people, registered voters, would be able to vote and have those votes displayed by the district in the assembly room before the assembly votes and people could do that from their homes. While I can't speak to the merits of this idea, by all accounts, it seemed Mayor DeVilbiss was prepared to take the time needed to make sure that the public had a voice at the table. He didn't stress time and efficiency, but rather consensus building and collaboration. Not only has he not accomplished this goal within the last year, but it seems it's going backwards. I can't help but think this is payback. In September of last year, Mayor DeVilbiss cut off public testimony for the first time, effectively muting dozens of people who waited for hours to have their voices heard on an issue they cared deeply about. But the community fought back several months later and forced the issue back on the table through a demonstration of nearly 60 constituents. It was at the end of this demonstration that Mayor DeVilbiss goes on record as wanting to review the public testimony policy. We have learned throughout history that the greatest leaders strive for consensus. They understand that true representation is about what the people want, regardless of their own opinion. We have also learned that the worst leaders do everything they can to push a personal agenda and strive to oppress or quiet any opposition. The worst leaders divide the community and offer benefits to the elite few who follow orders and don't question authority. There are four of you up for re-election this year. And each of your voting records will be a topic of debate. I strongly encourage each of you to think of the people of this community first and vote for the American ideals that make this country great. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
My name is Carissa Cherry, and I'm speaking as a private citizen, and I have something I would like to pass out to everyone. what I'm having the handout is just a reminder of the Open Meetings Act and the Alaska State Statute, Title 29.20.020. Just to remind everybody about the people being able to speak. What's being proposed goes against what I've just said, the Alaska State Statute and the Open Meetings Act, and of course, the one that reigns supreme is the United States Constitution and the First Amendment. The public does have a right to be heard. It does not matter how many people are present to speak. We all have a voice, and we will use it. We are tired of the government takeover. That includes the assembly takeover. We will fight to the bitter end. The problem that the assembly seems to have is that the meetings can have lasted till midnight. Simple solution. The assembly listens to everyone who wants to speak at the assembly meeting after everyone is heard and the assembly discusses the matter. And if there are any items of business, the other business can be postponed to the next meeting. The issues are not all about the assembly members and their wants and needs. It's about the people of the Mat-Su borough and the ways that have a positive effect on this great borough. There's no I in team. That's what we are, a team. That's what we are. We're a team to make the Mat-Su borough a wonderful and peaceful place to live and raise a family. Listen to the people. We are not dumb. We do have common sense, and we do know how to use it. We also have life experience, which I have seen can trump book smarts. Again, it's not all about you. It's about what's best for the people of the Mat-Su borough. So listen to the people. We are speaking loud and clear. Thank you.
Thank you. Please come forward.
My name is Sarah Welton. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. I'm speaking to you as a private citizen. Although I do serve on the school board, I do understand about the public process. I would like for you to recognize that your role is to listen. That is a major part of your role. It's not all that you do, obviously. I'm working on a PhD on ethics. And I can tell you all the different theories about morality. There's a theory that says it has to do with your thinking ability. There's a theory that says it has to do with experiences that you have. It has to do with gut feelings. It has to do with emotions. And there's all those theories. And I would have to say they're pretty much all wrapped up into a person's identity. A person's identity is extremely important as to who that person is, how that person operates in the world. The theories aren't complete there, but the studies that have been done say that those who are unethical, who have done the unethical nastiness that's in the scandals in the papers, that's, Enron, several other organizations, I could list them all out, in our churches, in our schools, in our all of our businesses and government. The people who have run into problems are the people who have isolated themselves. They have not listened to other people. They have kept their own counsel. And there are issues with keeping your own counsel. You're only as smart as you are. And we know that learning cannot happen in a vacuum. You have to learn in a group. And I thank you very much for this opportunity to talk.
Thank you. Anybody else? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close public testimony. I don't need to hit that hammer. That's not in the rules. Okay. That was my New Year's resolution. I wasn't going to be banging that thing all the time.
I'd rather know what he is.
Maybe not. I'd like our attorney to speak to the constitutionality on the issue of 3 minutes. It's been suggested we're already in violation.
I would obviously respectfully disagree. Limitations of participation. The Constitution says that you will make no law abridging free speech. You can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater. That was our U.S. Supreme Court's statement on the subject. And while it says you may make no law abridging free speech, the Supreme Court of the United States has adopted a rule of reasonableness as to that. You don't get to stand on the street corner and hurl swear words across at a kindergarten. You don't get to call the police and report false crimes. Just because it's speech doesn't mean it's unlimited. I think, again, speaking strictly to the legality, 3-minute rule is in our code right now. It says 5 minutes for organizations. I was just looking at that. Under the code that was handed out, which is cited in the IM, I would encourage the assembly members to read the IM in this regard if you have questions as to that. It says, reasonable meetings of all municipal bodies shall be public. The governing body shall provide a reasonable opportunity for the public to be heard at regular and special meetings. And the question becomes, is it reasonable?
Okay. Let's bring it back to the table. Assemblymember Hall, sir, has questions, attorney.
One of the people just mentioned that last sentence that says that the assembly cannot take action unless everyone's heard on the subject. Was that right?
Under state law, this assembly cannot vote on an ordinance until you hear all interested persons wishing to be heard. Again, in the IM, it's got the quote for it. I can pull it over quickly.
And how, what
the way they made. The way, well, that's, again, there are 2 sections of state law that mandate public hearing / audience participation. The first is for all regular and special meetings, the assembly has to allow for a reasonable opportunity for the public to be heard. So in our past meeting, before we gaveled out, the mayor said, anybody want to be heard? We're going to do that tonight.
My question is, doesn't that sentence mean it require more than what reasonable? It requires more knowledge. You have to absolutely hear everybody.
What I'm explaining is there are 2 separate public requirements under state law. One is reasonable notice, reasonable opportunity at meetings. The other is when you are passing an ordinance, you have no choice. You must hear all people interested. If it takes more than one meeting, you have to continue the issue over and over and over until all people have had their opportunity to speak. It happened a few years ago in Anchorage, I think 2-3, something, year and a half. There was some issue, I can't even remember what it is, I just remember
that's what it was.
And there were dozens and dozens and dozens of people. It took 3 or 4 meetings to get through. And the reason is even home rule jurisdictions like Anchorage cannot vote on an ordinance without hearing everyone who's interested who wants to speak. And if you get 500 people who want to talk about an ordinance, they all have to be heard before the assembly closes the public hearing and then debates the issue. So those are 2 separate things.
Okay, so we don't have a motion on the floor, so if there's any more questions before we bring it back to Assemblymember
Wood.
Assemblymember Woods and then Assemblymember Colburn and Assemblymember Peel.
I'd like to ask the attorney, there were at one memorial last meeting, there were several people that all agreed with one position, and yet they disagreed that they should sign up representing one position against another. Is there any provision that we can make where a group of people could have a spokesperson and then we would allow them additional time?
I don't believe so. Again, because state law says all persons wishing to be heard. The mayor has in the past, and past mayors have, Mayor Anderson, Mayor Menard, Mayor Colbert, and our current mayor have said if there's, you know, a bunch of people, if you want to get somebody, there have been times where people show up to meetings and say, you know, I'm here, and to kind of shorten this up, well, everybody who agrees with me, stand up. I mean, that has happened. Your question is, can we make that happen, like make that a rule? And the answer is no.
Assembly Member Colbert.
Thank you. So, Nick, just to recap, there seems to be some misunderstanding based on testimony. Basically, does the ordinance basically just roll the public hearing forward to at the option of the assembly or chair later in that meeting or another time certain that it can't be closed until everyone sees?
As to an ordinance, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Assembly Member Peel.
I'll ask a question to the attorney just for purposes of Chairman Lightfoot, perhaps. I think maybe you can expound on one of the issues here, and I think which may be causing some confusion, is the difference between audience participation for the purposes of commenting on a resolution, a standalone resolution, versus the requisite public hearing when we have an ordinance before us with an accompanying resolution. In the case of the ordinance, as you said, that mandates our attention until every person has spoken, versus if there is no public hearing, which is not required for the purpose of a resolution, public input and comment for that resolution would only be available during audience participation. Is that generally correct?
Correct.
Okay, are we ready to put a motion on the floor? Assemblymember Colbert.
Yeah, is it not true that the school board, they have a time limit for the public participation portion and for every agenda item? A limited time that you can expand on that and inform the assembly how they work over there?
Well, I almost brought that up when the school board member Welton was here, because we, in part, fashioned this after the school board, so I don't know if she has a problem with the way it's done there or not. But, what we're trying to do is ensure that the business gets done in no way, I shouldn't say in no way, but certainly.
Is Welton answer that question?
Well, the Assemblymember Colbert knows, and I know. You want the Assemblymember Welton to speak to it?
Yes.
Please come forward. School board, did it? Yeah. All right. Graduated you here.
Okay. All right. Sarah Welton again. We have a half an hour at one part of our meeting and half an hour at another part of our meeting. That's what it's scheduled for. The president, of course, has the ability to open it up for more. And we have never cut it off that I know of in all the years that I've served. We don't have a limit that's actually stated for all the discussion before something that's on the floor to be voted on an action item. It has gone a lot of time, and I think I've sat through 2 hours of public testimony before. There's a stated limit, but it is not adhered to for the regular public participation that is not on any agenda item.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Mayor.
Assemblymember Culver's next. I'm sorry.
In the school board, it's a half hour. This is an hour.
It's a half hour at two parts,
two times.
We do it at the beginning, and then because our meetings start early, a lot of parents can't get there, so we make sure that there's time later in the evening for it before the end of the meeting, that there is another time. And it's a half an hour. Very well. They did try to limit it. I've always been the one to say no. And I've brought that up several times. They have tried to. And I just don't. I believe we need to hear as much as we can.
Certainly that option, you can always suspend the rules if you see that there's time to get everything done that night. Assemblymember Arvin?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Can you ever recall an issue at the school board level that ever went to a subsequent meeting that got carried forward, or did you guys, have you always just accommodated the persons that wanted to testify and increased the time of?
We have limitations as to how long we can go. We have to have a vote to go past 10 o'clock. We have to have a vote, a unanimous vote, to go past 11 o'clock, and we must end at midnight. And so if we don't, we have to postpone to the next meeting. And we could have a special meeting in order to take care of things, which we have done. There was some things that happened, and we weren't prepared for it, so we had a special meeting a couple of days later. We had to do special notices and things like this, but we needed to take the time to do that.
I mean, if I could follow up, Mr. Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, I mean, regarding public testimony, have you carried public testimony on a particular item to a subsequent meeting?
I don't recall that. I just know that our meetings have not... We have not gone past the 12 o'clock rule, and we've had a couple of meetings where we did postpone all of our business to the next meeting in order to accommodate the people.
Okay, thank you.
I think there was a superintendent issue that carried to a subsequent meeting, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Superintendents and contracts are the big ones.
Right. But if we are not done with our business part, we transfer that over. And we have not had, I don't think, the public meeting actually go past, 11 o'clock.
Thank you. Assemblymember Solomon?
In direct reasoning towards that perspective, you do have limits, whether or not you choose to adhere to them or not. So to the attorney, how is this different than the school board? Because they can limit it, should they desire to, apparently by law. Why is it different for them than for us, by law, to be able to incorporate this particular... I'm not speaking for or against it. My question is, they're already doing it. We're thinking about doing it. How can it be wrong for us to do it when it's already at another body?
Not an ordinance.
So, a couple of things. First of all, remember, I'm only talking about the legalities. Whether it's a good idea, a bad idea, that's up to you guys.
That's what I'm talking about.
We are different than the school board. You are the governing body, and there's a different set of rules that apply to the governing body, specifically with regards to ordinances. So, under the current proposal that's before you now, if it passes, you would hear an hour's worth of testimony, and after that hour's worth of testimony, you would decide, do we want to keep hearing people tonight, or do we want to continue this to the end of the meeting, or do we want to continue this to the next meeting? Because you cannot, by state law, vote on an ordinance until you hear everybody. The school board is not bound by that rule because they're not the governing body.
But I'm talking specific because this is specific to the audience participation portion.
This has both.
Well, okay, so we recognize the point that you made about the ordinance, and it cannot be done.
Right.
Can the part be done on the audience participation
legally,
in order to prevent what would more or less be considered a filibuster against the assembly being able to conduct a meeting by a concerted effort by a group of people to come and speak and speak and speak and speak and speak? Can we not limit that when the school board already has that capacity? And I'm not talking about ordinance. I'm talking about audience participation specific.
Again, legally, I think you can. I think it would be defendable, and I think it would be a fellow assembly challenge.
Okay, we're getting into real close to debate. Assemblymember Keogh.
I didn't want to
get
out of order, but we have
to. I want
to have to. Just a follow up question for the attorney, if I may.
Thank you, ma'am.
And following up on Darcy's, Sam's question to the attorney, and that is, even without the addition of this 1 hour maximum on audience participation, The Assembly already is empowered to cut off audience participation, and we did so in September in our COLE meeting when the mayor moved to cut off debate. It was opposed, however, by a large majority, the Assembly decided to, in fact, cut off audience participation after 40 people spoke, but there were an additional 20 that wished to speak. So is it fair to say that irrespective of whether this language is added or not, the Assembly still has the same power to cut off audience participation?
I think that is correct.
Okay, I want a motion. We can go on talking about it.
Well, this one.
Go ahead.
In this scenario, the difference between a resolution ordinance would be pretty important. You couldn't do it on an ordinance, but you could on a resolution.
Correct. Well, to clarify that, you could say for an ordinance, you know, we've heard, pick your time limit, right? We've heard a whole lot of people tonight. Everybody else come back tomorrow.
You got
here falling asleep, but you have to hear them before you
have to hear them on a resolution.
You would not.
But you could.
You could.
Okay. Assemblymember Solomon, would you give me a motion, please?
I would love to. I move to adopt ordinance serial number 12-002.
Okay. It's on the floor. Assemblymember Keogh.
First, I appreciate the input from the public here this evening. It's refreshing and hope and I think some of the comments were inspirational. First of all, I'd like to note that this resolution is sponsored by the manager, and it's a little bit out of character for the manager to be generating and sponsoring this sort of legislation. This is a policy matter specific to assembly meetings. And it's not an ordinance regarding a project or a technical matter or an administrative issue or an operational matter, which is where the manager usually sponsors legislation. So there may be other assembly members from the mayor that are urging the manager to bring this legislation forward, but I'm certainly not one of them. I was going to comment about the differences between public comments during audience participation versus public hearing for purposes of an ordinance, but I think that's been covered. And maybe to reiterate some comments that were already made, the problem of limiting audience participation is that when a resolution of great significance to the public, such as the COLE resolution of this past September, irrespective of what side the public was on this issue, when you have a resolution, everyone may not be heard. And in this instance, the COLE issue was a resolution, not an ordinance. There was no public hearing, and people had an opportunity to speak during the audience participation portion of that meeting only. And again, there were over 60 people signed up to speak. 40 people did speak before the majority of the assembly cut off public input. And again, as mentioned earlier by some of the public, several weeks later, we heard many of these very angry individuals, many of whom were not heard that evening, demonstrating on the sidewalks outside the borough building here. And they were angry and frustrated because they simply did not have the opportunity to speak their 3 minutes. In my view, we are elected public servants, and I believe it's our duty to listen to the people we serve for as long as they have something to say, especially when they make a long drive to Palmer, and when they give up their evening simply to speak for 3 minutes before their elected officials on a matter of importance to them, or otherwise they wouldn't be here. One of my personal and primary motivations for making the decision to run for assembly a year and a half ago is wrapped up in the same issue. past assembly meeting, I didn't have the opportunity to speak to an ordinance before the body until after the assembly had voted, which wasn't a happy sensation. So, finally, in my opinion, when writing a local government law restricting people's opportunity to speak before their elected representatives is not in the best interest of a healthy democracy, and we should be encouraging more people to participate in matters of local government, not less by limiting how long we elected officials are willing to listen. So that said, I move to strike the one-hour maximum from Ordinance 12-002 on page 2 of 3, line 10 at 9, C, audience participation.
Okay, motion on the floor. Does anybody want to speak to that?
I will. In defense of that motion, we have item D under section 3. When the public hearing lasts for 1 hour or any single ordinance, the assembly may continue the public hearing to time certain later in the same meeting or until a later meeting. The assembly will not consider an ordinance without first hearing all interested persons wishing to be heard. That's apparently what this is all about. And the 1 hour maximum, we can do as we please, without this ordinance. That's one of our maximum, because the legal portion is stated here. And if we want to stop at 1 hour, we can. All we have to do is say we're going to continue this later. And I'll agree with the 1 hour maximum.
You're speaking against the motion. The amendment.
The amendment is to delay some of the speak for the amendment.
Okay. Assemblymember Solomon.
In a roundabout way, I'm speaking to the amendment, but I'm speaking specifically to the main motion, which is I'm speaking in opposition to it because it is a redundancy. We've been shared by law that we cannot limit the public speaking on the ordinance itself, and that we do have the right, in fact, to curtail audience participation, as evidenced by Mr. Keel having been done in the past. Therein lies to pass the ordinance at all, with or without the amendment, becomes a redundancy in action, as we already have the rights as pertained within. And I think that we don't need to pass this, because we can already do what we want to do by virtue of a vote at your convenience to call for the assembly's vote on curtailing audience participation. Having had it been done and not challenged, the precedent has been set. And therein lies that we can, in fact, do that again. And by law, we cannot do it with an ordinance. So, what's the point of the resolution at all? Or the point of this ordinance? And so, my move is not move, we've got to vote on Mr. Keogh's motion, but I speak in opposition to the ordinance as written because it's senseless in terms of the action of both behavior.
Okay. This is a motion to strike 1 hour. Are we ready for the question? I've heard Assemblymember Culver.
Yeah. You know, based on the activity that happened at the October meeting where the meeting was hijacked, I felt, you know, the process was abused. And I think we need some kind of tool to put some kind of sideboards on how long that can go. If we leave it open-ended, as has been suggested, and then shut it down in the middle, I think there's going to be more of a flap. There's going to be more, you know, there's going to be an expectation that this could go on, and there is no preventative measure from keeping a demonstration to hijack another meeting at some point. You know, what we might do is we might rotate meetings. Open mic, first meeting in the month, second meeting would be listed and be more purposeless. But, you know, it's not, it could be a little tweaking, you know, but it is stripped out now of something else. So we do have some opportunities, but on some nights we really have to get our business done.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, somebody else want to speak before Assemblymember Salmon speaks twice? Assemblymember Halter.
I think I've got a question for the maker of the motion. So you don't have a problem. You have a problem with 1 hour maximum up to 9C. Subsection E is okay with you?
Assemblymember Keel?
Yeah, if you're asking my view, well, I hearken to hear what Assemblymember Salmon had to say. And I would agree that this, I was tempted to move to postpone this indefinitely. But, I find the 1 hour maximum limitation on this participation unacceptable.
Section E.
Section E.
You don't have a problem with it.
Well, it basically codifies, which is something that's already in state law. So fundamentally, I don't have a problem.
I would be both for this change.
I would suggest that the sentences be reversed. The assembly will not consider the ordinance without first hearing all interested persons' wishes to be heard, which is redundant with state statute. It also says when the public hearing lasts for 1 hour on any single ordinance, the assembly may continue the public hearing any time certain later in the same meeting or until a later meeting. So I guess I'm okay with that. That doesn't necessarily mean, since it says may rather than shall, it would allow us to go forward with a public hearing. We don't have to cut it off at 1 hour. We can continue to listen to it. Mm-hmm. But if we wish, we could postpone it to later in the meeting or a future date certain. Irrespective of the case, everyone would have an opportunity to speak on the public hearing.
The reverse sentence is your
man.
Are we ready for the question? Assemblymember Salmon, sorry.
Well, just the point of Mr. Culver's position about getting caught up in it again, relating to the Alaska Statute 29.20020, it says the governing body shall, not may, provide reasonable opportunity for the public to be heard at regular and special meetings. Reasonable is the word to sue by. Reasonable according to who? In this instance, according to the governing body, which is this body. Able to be taken issue with in a legal situation should someone in the audience desire to do so. But reasonable on an audience participation issue that's non-ordinance, we know ordinances must go forward, but reasonable is listening to 40 people give the same position over and over and over, and then to have them come back at another meeting under the pretense that they were not heard, when clearly that both sides of that coin in the meeting in question were heard back and forth, to my understanding, the best that you could. Four against. That was reasonable. According to who? Well, according to you, sir, and according to the body that voted to stop that, and that's where we're at here for Mr. Culver's benefit. Reasonable already depicts that you have the right, after giving a reasonable amount of time in whose mind's eye? In this body's mind's eye. And that's why I'm in favor of just rejecting the whole thing and letting it stand the way it is today. And suck it up down the line somewhere.
Assemblymember Salmon, I guess I would just say that this is an effort to define a minimum standard for reasonable for the public sake.
Well, I recognize that, sir.
Okay.
But I'm saying that they don't want that.
Mm-hmm. So that is what you want tonight.
Yes.
Assemblymember Cullen.
I just want to make it clear that I'm not really excited to vote for Mr. Keogh's amendment, but I will be voting against the overall amendment period. I'm not excited about some of the theater that's gone on in the past and the like, but as a body, we have the ability to adjust the agenda. We know what hot topics there are. We can schedule them for certain meetings and have that flexibility, and I think see where the desire for the resolution or this ordinance may be, but I will be voting against it.
Okay, I think we're ready for the question.
Mayor?
Assemblymember Culver?
I would write a secondary amendment that would read, audience participation shall occur for 1 hour on the second regular scheduled meeting of the month and be unlimited at the first regular meeting of the month.
No. The clerk is wincing here.
We're all wincing.
So state your motion again, Assemblymember Culver.
Audience participation shall be unlimited at first regularly scheduled set the meeting of the month and limited to 1 hour on the second assembly meeting of the month.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor. Is there
Mr. Mayor,
questions been called for? Assemblymember, did you want to speak to that, Assemblymember Barbin?
Yeah, I would speak to Mr. Culver's secondary amendment.
You may.
Has a question been called on that?
I'm just holding it. Please speak.
Okay, thank you. So I think we're getting down a rabbit trail here, and when we look at the ordinance that's written today without considering the proposed changes, which I will be wholly voting against, we've already got state law. We already have a process by which we can manage the meeting, and the more steps that we put in this process by adding this first meeting or second meeting of the month, that's going to delay our ability to deal with issues as they come up in a timely manner. If we know something is contentious, then we're going to set it for the second meeting of the month, even though it might have queued up for the first meeting of the month. So we're just going down a rabbit trail here that I'm not comfortable with. I think I'm reading the tea leaves, the proverbial tea leaves as they are, that this ordinance has trouble, and I don't think this is helping it. So I'll be voting against the secondary amendment.
Okay, the question's been called for. Is there objection to closing debate? Hearing none, please vote on the secondary amendment dealing with first meeting of the month and second meeting of the month, to put it briefly.
Family Member Culver.
No.
Family Member Arvin.
No.
Mr. Mayor, I failed unanimously.
Okay, let's vote on the primary amendment, which was to strike that 1 hour. Please vote.
Family Member Arvin.
No.
Family Member Culver.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it failed with Assembly Member Keel, Halter, and Woods in support. Let me get this vote very quickly. Okay.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Assembly Member Arvin.
Yeah, I'd like to speak to the main motion now.
You may.
When I first read this language, frankly, I didn't have a huge reaction to it one way or the other. It doesn't, at the end of the day, it doesn't limit an individual's ability to address the body at some point. But if this were to pass, I think it disenfranchises those that, especially those that have to drive from far distances in the borough to come and testify. If they know that they have to, that they've got to maybe now come to the meeting early to get on the list, to be able to speak that night, and if they get there and they are speaker number 21, there's not 3 minutes left for that.
Assembly Member Arvin?
Assemblymember Culver,
are you online?
Online.
I did.
Oh,
hello.
Assemblymember Arvin, you may conclude.
Sorry about that. So anyways, I'll be voting against the main motion because I think that we should be sending a clear message that if you take the time to come and testify, the body will endeavor to hear you. There will be some issues that just by the sheer volume of people that turn out to speak that may have to be postponed until a subsequent meeting. But I think that we should not limit anybody's... We should have a process that encourages people to come and speak, not disenfranchises them from doing so. And in closing, I will say that I don't even like the 3-minute rule. I have testified to the body prior to my being elected and had, you know, substantive, detailed information that would have helped the body make an informed decision on very serious issues. And I was cut off. And you, Mr. Mayor, and prior mayors, and even tonight, have extended latitude to some speakers to go over 3 minutes. And I think that is healthy. So, with that, I will be voting no against the main motion. Thank you.
Okay, I think we're ready for the question. Does anybody want to hear what the mayor says about it? I'll be happy with however you vote, but this was brought forward by the manager, and I didn't ask you to do it either, but I've been blamed for it. When I'm done with this public process, there's going to be a ton more input than there is now, and I'm glad somebody was listening during the campaign. The technology in this room will not handle that. That's where we're going. But neither are we going to give filibuster power over one issue when we've got other business to do. But we're going to deal with it on a case-by-case basis, it sounds like. But let's vote. I've heard an objection, so put it on the board.
Assembly Member Culver.
No.
Assembly Member Arvin.
No.
Mr. Mayor, it failed unanimously.
Wow. I think that calls for a break.
Okay, so executive session is advertised on our agenda. There are certain subjects that you specifically have to advertise for. It's my opinion, based upon the cases and the laws nationwide and in Alaska on open meetings acts, that because we have executive session noted, if something on the agenda otherwise qualifies for executive session, then we can discuss that. I know the clerk prefers to have specific actual notice for each and every executive session. The discussion we had was we were having the assembly planning retreat, and you wanted to have executive session discuss items of management with the manager. And I thought the directive was make sure that type of executive session was put on every retreat. That's what I talked to the deputy clerk the following day about. So that at the retreat, if you do have things you want to talk to the manager about his performance, you can break, go into session, and then come back out and give direction.
That's for that special kind of a meeting. But if you want to beat up on the manager tonight, you just have the authority to do that because it's advertised. Assembly Member Wood.
Tomorrow, after business from 4 to 6:30, the Reverend is having a presentation over there, evangelicals. Just a reminder.
Right. We just passed our chance to quit before 9. But if there's no further comments or objection, we will adjourn.